And anyway, we stayed on and had a very, very happy time. Went up the Eiffel Tower, where a most extraordinary picture was taken of us all, which should be in the archives somewhere. So this was a commercial one. And we all had copies, postcards. I think I gave mine. I had a packet of letters. Now, this is something in a way that rather distressed me. That I had letters, of course, through Baba, written by Norina and this one and that one. And I made a little packet of them and gave them to, what is her name, Molly?
Eve
to take to, I never can say his name, Narawala.
Yes.
And I never got any.
I was going to ask you about that, because I wanted to make some Xerox copies.
Well, I sent them off, and I never had any notes that they had been handed over. Of course, it was a very, very stupid thing of me to do, because I should have taken copies and sent the copies and kept the originals. But the originals I put in an envelope and gave to Molly Eve, and she was supposed to deliver them to, I never can say his name, Dan. Yes, yes. Whether they ever got there or not, I don't know. There were letters written sometimes by Kitty, Baba through Kitty, Baba through Norina, and I think there was one from, who is the chap who did the Wanderer?
Duncan.
Yeah, Duncan, yes. So what has happened to them, I don't know. And of course,
you don't have any
copies. I have no copies at all. Very, very silly. I now know and see. But there were the letters, and they were collecting letters and wanted them, and I simply gave them to Molly Eve, and whether he ever got them or not, anyway, I don't know whether they ever arrived or what happened to them. So I have nothing, unfortunately.
Yes, I was interested to see.
Yes, no, I haven't got them. I don't know whether Molly, I'm sure, would have handed them over.
You must have them in India.
I mean, there weren't that many, but they were very precious.
Of course.
And I think also there were some telegrams when I was in New York and Baba wanted me to run the little Monday night. And we always communicated back and forth. And I think I also put in the telegrams. They should be there somewhere. Anyway, then there was the parting. And Delia can remember, it was an extraordinary thing, that we got on the boat, and of course Delia immediately started to feel seasick and adorned herself with eau de cologne, and I started to weep. This fountain of tears again, which just went on and on and on.
From Paris.
Yeah. And coming home again was always very, very hard, because one had really been in a completely other world. And it was extremely hard for me to pick up the threads and do, of course, what I had to do, which was to look after my husband and my family. And I was also very, very sad that I was never called to go to India. But I was bitter, very bitter. I felt very rejected. I felt that Baba didn't care for me at all. But I now see that I had to do what it was my duty to do. I had to stay and do.
Right.
It would have been very easy for me, although I loved my children, to have given everything up and gone.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the easy way, and I wasn't allowed to have the easy way.
So you never actually met Mara?
No, never. I've never been to India, and I now very much doubt that I ever will. It's not.
That's quite a long journey.
It's a long journey, and I have very, very strong obligations here. And unless things changed enormously, I feel I can no longer make selfish actions. There are self-indulgences which one has learned to see are not right. And I think one has obviously to learn to find God where one is, and in the duty which one has to do. And in this, I think there's somewhere a wonderful part in the imitation of Christ, that if we can find pleasure or joy in our doing our duty, then we have peace. It's no good striving after something that you can't have, which isn't in your stars, which isn't in your karma. You have got to find God where you are and in what you're doing.
You were with Baba in Italy also.
Yes, yes. Now, that, strangely enough, has rather faded.
There were several trips, Santa Margarita and Portofino.
Yes, well, I was in the Santa Margarita one. And this is when Margaret and I were very, very close. It's very strange, but this particular part has faded. What is much stronger is the time we spent at Kitty Davis' house in Russell Road. Okay. That was very strong. Delia and I were together, shared a room. And the press at that time were very, very interested in Baba. And, of course, entirely misunderstood the whole thing. And I can remember that somebody came from one of the papers to interview him. And Baba had told us all to go upstairs. We were all young then, and rather pretty. Minta was a nice-looking girl. I was a nice-looking girl. Kitty was quite sweet. Delia was quite handsome. And, of course, Margaret was always Margaret. And Baba had told us to not exactly stay out of sight, you know, but that we were so curious. I can remember we all came sort of tippy-toeing down the stairs. And as we came down, so one of these reporters looked up. So, of course, it was written in the paper that the master was surrounded by a bevy of beautiful women. Nonsense of this kind. But that was a very happy time, staying in Kitty's house.
That was when that boy Ali was there also.
Yes.
I think, was he the one that said, now Baba Kimco has come?
Yes, that was how it all started. The Kimco business, yes. And I can remember one or two occasions in that house that where Baba would sit and we would sit round him in perfect silence. And there was such a flow of love. It's almost as if the air were vibrating. You could almost touch it. Wonderful, wonderful times. Wonderful times which, for me, had to end. But the memory has stayed.
Did you know, since you knew Meredith quite well, I was wondering, there is mention that there was a man who was like a master figure towards Meredith. His name was Johnson? Do you remember anything?
No, I don't. I don't remember. I only knew Meredith, you see, for the time that he was associated with Baba.
Well, this might have been prior to that, I think.
I don't know. I know that afterwards he tried to set up a very big ashram somewhere on his own, Meredith. And I think it failed financially, as these things, of course, are almost bound to fail. At the end, they became Subuds.
Yes, I
remember. And the last time I saw Meredith, I found him marvelously changed. I had gone down thinking that I was going to give, and I really got. Although I could talk to him, he couldn't talk back to me, but he made little sounds which Margarita could translate.
Is she still there?
She's very, very frail. I think the last I heard, she, through a friend who is also a Subud, said that Margarita was very frail.
Cause,
in London? Yes, yes. But Meredith's eyes were absolutely radiant and clear and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And he was at peace, which to me was extraordinary. Here was this highly intellectual man with a room this size, with walls plastered with books, and he could no longer read, he could no longer communicate in any way. But she had a window where he could look into the garden and the birds came and almost fed out of his hands. But I don't think I've ever seen, except in Baba's eyes, such peace. And two or three days before he died, I saw Margarita after this, she offered him something to eat or drink, and he said no and tried as best he could to make a little gesture. And she said, "You mean you're going to leave me?" And he said yes. And in the 3 days he did die.
You didn't have any mention of Baba during your visit?
No, I think they had got over their antagonism. Very little was said. They were full of Subud. Margarita was talking about Subud, which is something that I know nothing about and don't understand at all. And the little that I did hear through another friend who embraced, if you want that expression, I thought it sounded to me a little dangerous. But I was not, well, I say interested. Of course one's mind is open, but it was nothing that I felt attracted to. I thought the whole thing seemed a little dangerous.
Do you have any idea what happened to the Haggards?
No. 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 Or Tom Sharpley, who was there at the time. or the Inces, Audrey and Dick Ince.
Yeah, you know, here I've got some photos. I thought maybe that you may be knowing some of the people in them, that you could help me. I know some of them.
Well, of course, you know all of us. There's Minta, Delia.
Well, this is actually somebody named Alex.
I don't know who that is. That's Minta, Delia. Yeah,
this is you.
That's me, half hidden. Margaret, Meredith.
And who's this?
I think that's Audrey Ince, but I wouldn't be absolutely certain. Oh, yes. But I wouldn't like to say, my dear.
This is Margaret.
That's Margarita, yes.
And this woman, dear?
I don't know.
These may be some of the local people. Or this woman?
No.
Or this man?
No.
Is this Dick Ince?
I think that's Dick. Of course, that's... Where's Dada Chanji? Here he is, darling, yes, Dada Chanji. Kaka. I think that... That's Tom Sharpley.
Yes. And this is Vera.
Yes.
Ardy.
Do
you know any of these people?
That's Esther.
Okay.
That's Esther.
Esther with the open shirt.
Yes, that's Esther. Yeah, that's Esther.
Down.
Yeah, that's Esther. Mm-hmm. The others... You see, really, it sounds an awfully funny thing to say, but you were so in Baba.
Yes.
Well, at this particular first meeting, that I don't think I was really very conscious of what was going on at all.
Yes, I can understand.
Apart from Meredith and Margarita, with whom one had meals, and Delia, who was near, and Margaret, and Kitty.
Is this Kitty? I'm not sure.
I should think that might be Kitty.
Or, did you know who this woman is, did you say?
No. Mm-hmm. No. No.
Yeah, this is you.
Yes. No, I wouldn't know. As I say, I really, after that first meeting with Barbara, at that particular time, I don't think I was really conscious of anybody at all. Mm-hmm. There were people there, but they were like shadows to me. Mm-hmm. I really wasn't aware, except that Delia and I then discovered, of all extraordinary things, that we both lived in the same street in London. I was at 15 Compiègne Gardens, and she was higher up. And, of course, this was formed a very, very close bond because we were in and out of each other's houses the whole time. And Margaret, of course, I saw because of the ballet, which I adored. Kitty, I saw because she was giving my children piano lessons. But the rest of them, I was not really conscious of them at all. Except Tom, the second time we went to East Charlecombe, they were so full in the house that Tom and I, it sounds very funny, but there was a little cow shed sort of here. I slept in one cowshed and Tom slept in the other. So I was sort of half aware of Tom. Mm-hmm. But I thought... That I know is Esther. That is Esther. Absolutely Esther. But apart from that, my dear, I know it seems dreadful not to be able to...
Well, you see, they may have been just local people also that just met Mama once or something. Or there for the photograph.
Well, I don't know. I think the Inces were quite devoted for quite a long time, and so was Tom Sharpley. I don't know what happened later at all. Mm-hmm. Tom fell away. The Becketts, but the Becketts weren't there.
Well, no, I think they came later.
They came later. They weren't there, I think, at that initial visit, as far as I can remember.
Well, do you remember any time sort of... I'll tell you what I'm looking for. You see, Dada Chanji kept diaries, and there's all those... times are pretty well documented, but I thought perhaps that there's a few little incidents that only you would know, personal with you and Baba, that other people may not know. So sometimes Baba said something, or you were with Baba when others weren't, perhaps, or anything that stands out in your memory, any incident or something Baba may have said to you?
I don't think so, really, because, I mean, the big incident, of course, actually, I was never really alone with him. We were always more or less in a group. He told me, of course, that I must do my duty, obviously. But one interesting thing happened, which I don't know how. I think Audrey Ince must have told me. I mean, this maybe is very private and should go no further. But Meredith was a very, in some ways, an austere man, and he felt that sex, unless it was for the procreation of children, was not... Right. Mm-hmm. And the Inces had been instructed by Meredith that they were not to have any sexual intercourse whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I think the marriage was breaking because of this. And Baba refuted this, and he said, no, if you are married, then you must have a normal married life. Mm-hmm. But this was advice to them, and I remember telling him once that I did, I suppose, to be quite frank, I was no longer in love with my husband, and therefore found sex not very, well, what it should be. And but this, I think, was not, he didn't, when I say he didn't mean it, he said to me, you are already a saint. Now, this was Baba talking to me. But of course, he didn't mean that I was already a saint.
No, I understand.
I had always, as a little girl, wanted to be a saint and thought I might be a saint and hoped to be a saint. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, that's a lovely answer. Things like that, that's very beautiful.
But, you see, there was a lot of pride in that.
Well, but Baba had his reasons for saying that.
Yes, but you see, my pride in talking to Baba and saying that I was already sort of above and beyond the things of this earth, and I was a young and very beautiful woman. I mean, this was a tremendous pride in me. I see it now. And the answer that he gave, in a way he did these things, in a very mysterious way, he would feed what needed to be broken in you.
Yes.
I'm not putting it very well, but
no,
you understand
exactly
that if you would go to him and say this, that, or the other, and he would say, yes, 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 that's all right, and you do it. And then by doing the thing that you most wanted to do, you would see, or thinking the thing that you most wanted to think, you would find it was utterly mistaken, and you had to get way, way, way beyond this into something entirely different.
Yes,
and I had learnt later on how utterly right he was, that I had to live through life. I had to become a real woman. I had to know what it was to be passionately in love and to feel really what the body was, what it could give at the best, and then get beyond it.
So this incident, where did this occur? In Kitty's house?
It was, it might have been in my own house or in Kitty's. I couldn't tell you at that particular time.
At that, did he say anything further than that?
No.
Means don't worry, you're already saved.
But I remember I was so proud, and you see, this was dreadful, because a true saint isn't proud, because,
it's a lovely thing to have said.
It's a lovely thing to have said, but I now know in my old age how very, very, very far I am from being perhaps a little better, I hope, but certainly not in any way a saint. What I think one has achieved is compassion and love. I think there's nobody in the world for whom I couldn't feel love or compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And people who, in the past, perhaps like my stepmother, who were unkind, I have thought about it and pondered about it and prayed about it. And when we meet again, I will go with two hands and say, come on, let's be friends. It's just as much my fault. I was a very difficult, very spoiled little girl, and the breach was just as much my fault as yours. There's nobody, I think, now that I could meet that I wouldn't, love is a very big word, but would have no animosity towards, no condemnation, that, and however heinous a sin and a cruelty, I would try and regret bitterly for the sin and the cruelty, but still feel compassion for whoever was capable of acting in that way. So perhaps Baba has worked over all these years in me to a certain extent.
Do you remember any other times, similar times, where Baba may have said something to you or you'd gone about? There were times of like jealousies among the people.
Oh, tremendous. Oh, my goodness me, yes. Oh, yes, that Minta was very jealous of I think we were all terribly jealous of each other. Yes, indeed, terribly jealous. If one thought that Baba was being more or giving more or making more attention to somebody. We were all terribly young and very, very immature. And you see, people didn't really understand that there's the kind of love that it was. I can remember my husband saying to me before we set off for Paris, are you sure it's going to be all right? And I said, look, if Baba in any way showed that he was not what I thought he was, I would be so heartbroken I think I would have killed myself. To me, he was utter purity. And if there had been any sign of any kind of... I think I would just have died of grief. He was, to me, as the Christ must have been to the Magdalene. Love and compassion and absolute purity. And, of course, Kitty will have told you the whole story of Zilla Kloos and this extraordinary thing that happened. You heard all about that, didn't you?
No.
Kitty had a little niece called Zilla who was in the Paris party. And the child, I don't know what happened. And, of course, Herbert Davy was very closely attached to Barbara at that time. And Zilla told some, God bless her, that she was in bed and that Baba got into bed with her under the coverlet. And this she imagined was going to be some kind of a sexual molestation. Kitty never believed it. I never believed it. None of us ever believed it. But poor Herbert Davy did. And for this reason, from being a very, very devoted disciple, he left Baba.
He's still living.
I think he is. I think he is, yes.
He's not in London.
I have no idea. But he left left completely. Whether he and Kitty didn't see each other when she was here or not, that I don't know.
I thought with Zilla, though, there was another one of those Indian men that was...
Rustam Irani, who was so beautiful. Yes.
I thought she was saying about him.
No, I don't think she was. She was rather in love with Rustam.
That's what I meant.
And I think very likely, I think Indian men very likely like very young girls, although she was a very plain little girl. But she was young, she was 16 or something like that. And I know that Rustam was sent away.
Yeah.
I think he was one of the most beautiful human beings that I have ever seen. But
physically,
yes, yes. The idea of a prince of the East with the dark hair and the beautiful glowing eyes and tall and very beautiful men. But, of course, for me, there was one had eyes for nobody but Baba, obviously. But I don't think anything was ever thought as being between. But Baba didn't want, obviously couldn't have somebody about, maybe who was feeling something toward in that way towards one of the disciples.
Because I know that Zilla's mother, May, was...
May Kloos, yes, yes.
Then she sort of...
She became against Baba. One never, to me, the whole thing was pathetic because, it was to me unthinkable. Yeah. And I say, but if anything like that, for all of us, Kitty or Margaret or me or Delia or Minta or Quentin Todd or any of our little group, if Baba had not been what we believed he was, I think we should have suffered so much. We should have been so disillusioned, so heartbroken. It makes me think of that wonderful play Rain of Somerset Maugham, which, of course, you know, where this prostitute has found this clergyman who redeems her, and she looks up to him as a god, and then suddenly he feels attracted to her. And this is the greatest disillusionment, somebody that you've looked up to as your saviour, and your, you know. But I know Zilla later married.
She came to India recently.
Did she?
With her sister Jenny.
Oh, Jenny was so sweet. Oh, Jenny was such a pretty little girl. How did Zilla feel anything for Barbara anymore?
I don't really know. I didn't get a chance to talk, but they stayed in the center and they were sort of traveling. You know, Kitty was there also, Steve, so they...
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. She goes to Canada to see them every year.
Zilla was a very talented little sculptress and she did quite a good head of me and she stayed with me, and I was very close to the child and very devoted to her. But this was before this. I would have been awfully interested if you ever could talk to Zilla. Mm-hmm. Now as an older and a married woman, perhaps she would be able to see the whole picture.
I think she must now.
Realize that, yes. Now that was very strange.
That happened in Paris.
Yes, yes. I think that's really about, it is a very, very long time ago.
Yeah.
And perhaps in a way the miracle of the whole thing is that the impression has remained so very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
I am a Christian and I go regularly to my church and take the sacraments. And I think that because of the experience with Baba, I am able to love Christ more.
I think you're right. I think everyone feels that way.
That because, I mean, I would never be blessed, perhaps only after death, to see him. But if I ever were blessed to see any vision of the Lord, it would be because of this meeting of Baba. Yeah. That he, to me, was as if I had met the Lord.
Other people have said similar.
Yes, yes.
Did you see Lam and Can as well?
No.
So when was the last time someone?
The last time would have been the first Italian visit, I suppose.
That would be about 33 or so.
Yeah, well, yes, because my I didn't see him after my son was born. My son was born in June of 33.
Yeah, because Baba did come to London in 34.
Yes, I didn't see him then. Mm-hmm. Which was entirely my own fault, because I did feel rejected. I was so hurt. I mean, everybody was going to India. Mm-hmm. I was left behind. And I remember one beautiful telegram, which of course should be with the ones that's very likely lost. He said, trying to please her Lord, poor Mary Magdalene, his heart is broken, or something of that kind, that I had to stay and do as he said, but my heart was being broken because I was trying to do what the Lord had said. Mm-hmm. And his pet name for me was Aisha.
Yes.
That's with an A. Yes, A-Y-E-S-H-A. I believe she was the favorite wife of Muhammad. Yes. But he gave us all these lovely Eastern names. But I think those telegrams went with those letters. Mm-hmm. It was very much couched in those terms, trying to please her Lord. Poor Mary Magdalene is breaking her heart, or words to that sort of effect. I can't quote it exactly anymore.
Mm-hmm. I just have a few notes. I'm trying to see if I have some questions.
And then, of course, eventually I went to America after the war, and was singing, and I was practicing in Carnegie Hall. Yeah. Came out of Carnegie Hall, and who should I run into but Margaret?
Yeah.
And then that was the way it all came together again. And I saw a great deal of Margaret, and John Bass, and Ella, and Fred, and Ivy Deuce. And then they needed somewhere for a meeting, and I had a small flat in the Master Building, and was in charge, that's a silly way of putting it, but took the Monday meeting until Emmanuel and I then went to Italy to go on with our singing career. But, I mean, it was really extraordinary. There was I just coming out of Carnegie Hall. There was Margaret just coming out of Carnegie Hall. Margaret Kim, see.
Did you ever sing for Bob?
Not very much. He liked different, he wasn't really operatic. Mm-hmm. He liked Negro, I did sing a few little Negro spirituals for him, but not what I would really call singing. But I must confess that I have very little understanding, really, for pop music.
Yeah.
I had to confess this to Darling Pete. It isn't that I look down on it at all, good God. But if you're trained as an operatic singer, and it's very difficult for one to have an understanding or appreciation of of pop music.
Do you happen to remember anyone named Phyllis from the Old English Group?
Yeah, I remember Phyllis Frederick.
Yeah.
Edith Korff. No, she was... What?
From the Old English Group,
Phyllis.
I ran across that name, and I was wondering if you knew
that. No, it doesn't ring a bell. No.
Or Rita and Max Hastings?
No.
Mary King?
No.
It may not have been, just...
An awful lot of people sort of came and went. No, the people I remember most clearly of the English group were really the Becketts, that I kept in touch with, and we used to visit them in Kent, Mary and dear old Will.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether that strange, or I call it almost a miracle, that Will did. I don't know whether that's in the archives at all.
Did Will what?
Well, I was in tremendous pain, a sort of horrible growth right in the nostrils. And the doctor said, oh, well, if this doesn't burst, I'm afraid we will have to cut this thing. Darling Will came very often to lunch. He loved the little children because he and Mary had no family. And he said, Kim, would you allow me to try and do this for you in the name of Baba? I was in such pain. I said, yes, of course. So we went into the drawing room where there was an open fire, but it was dead. I mean, the maids only lit it in the evening. And we sat very, very quietly. And Will just laid his hands on me. The pain was intense. I mean, there was a sort of hard, just what was extraordinary, the fire was dead. And suddenly a wreath of smoke came out of the fire, came all the way around us. And we just sat very quietly, and then the family went into lunch. There was Nanny and the two children and Bill and myself. And suddenly, as I was at the lunch table, this thing burst. And, of course, I had to rush away and mop it up and so on. But that really was quite an incredible happening. And that was done in Barbara's name. But I can see the drawing room. I can see myself sitting on the sofa, which was opposite the fire. And I can see this wisp of smoke just coming round.
When was that?
Well, it must have been about, I think it was after the birth of my little boy. It would be about 33, 34, something like that. Hello, darling. You better turn this off. This is my dear husband. The Indians didn't always. You see, Baba said to us, in the East I have worship, in the West I have love.
Yes.
And there was such a loving, I mean, we would curl up his hair and poke it up under his head. Of course, it was just love. I don't say we didn't reverence him. Of course we did, but perfect love does cast out fear. And to us, he was just love. And he was somebody we could tease and say, oh, Baba, you look silly in that hat. Or, and it was, many people would have misunderstood this. But it was just love and play, and he loved this because he could relax with us and be completely happy. And I can remember one or two train journeys. He would sometimes cover his head, and he would go. Where he went, I don't know, but he would go. And I can remember lying practically all one night with my head on his feet in a bliss which is indescribable. Everybody was quiet, and he always covered his face when he was in these deep meditations. But it was a love that I think very few people would understand if they saw us together, playful and teasing and joking. And we used to make silly little rhymes and say, the sad guru is a happy guru, and silly little things. And he'd sort of chuckle at that time, and his face would light up, and his eyes would become brilliant. And I think he was really very happy with us. And I dare say that in a way I had the happiest part, because I suppose when he went back to India, then there were so many duties and travelings to do and interviews to do and his all the work that he had to do, whereas perhaps those early days with Kimco were real holidays, relaxing and happy holidays for him. But it was joy, and it was only sorrow when he went. And of course I wrote a great, I sent him poems nearly every day of expressing the great grief and the sorrow of departing from him. And it was so difficult to come down to earthly, well, daily life. Very, very, very difficult. But I know that it was right, that I wasn't called to India, and that I just had to stay and work out and work through what had to be worked out and worked through.
Do you happen to remember, did Baba actually mention merit to you all in those early days? Anytime?
Yes, he did.
Do you remember anything?
He said she was the closest to him. And of course, we were all very jealous because we all wanted to be the closest to him. And we never quite understood, I think, why she was so particularly close. He once said something very strange, that she was his kin, which we never quite understood, and I still don't understand.
Yeah.
And he also said it wasn't because she was outstandingly spiritual, which was strange. I have not met her. You have, of course, haven't you? And what, do you feel this immense something?
I'm telling you, she is 100% absorbed in Baba.
Yes.
His pictures. I mean, it's like Baba's there with her. Like, she's always talking to Baba.
Yes.
My darling Baba, you know.
He's there.
100%.
Yes, 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 yes.
Incredible.
Yes, yes.
You really are inspired her love for Baba so deeply.
Yes.
And it's because he made it like that, because he loved her and showed his love for her so much that she's able to have that love for him.
Yes, yes, yes. I think it must have been very difficult for the English girls when they went. I think there were tremendous jealousies, as far as I have been told.
Uh-huh.
I don't say she was resented, because there couldn't be in their hearts to resent. But they were all so human, just as I was human. And if you love somebody very much, I mean, there was jealousy among the Lord's disciples. Who's going to sit at his right hand? Who's going to sit at his left? Who's going to be first in the kingdom? Because we are all so pathetically human. But I never met her, of course. I never will. What about his sister?
She's still there also.
Yes. But she was so beautiful, Meharan, when she was young, amazingly beautiful. Mm-hmm. As was Norina Machiavelli. I knew her, of course, very well. And I know that, I feel now, looking back, that if Baba had called me to India, I think I should have been an absolute nuisance. I would have been such a nuisance, because I would have been jealous, terribly jealous. And I really would have been an absolute pain to everybody, I think. So I think he was very wise in not calling me to go. But
well, did he actually tell you don't come? Or, I mean, that was in 33 when they went.
Well, I suppose there was no. I just wasn't asked. Everybody else was invited, and I think I must have written a very strong letter of protest, because this is, I suppose, why he wrote that telegram back. But there was no possibility of me going. Mm-hmm. So, and I now see that I was terribly spoiled. Mm-hmm. And I think I would have found India and the lack of water. And mm-hmm. My darling daughter was in India not so very long ago. And she said, "Mummy, you have no idea of the dust." And I was awfully spoiled. I think I should have been a perfect pain. I wouldn't have minded the vegetarian food because I like it. But the lack of privacy, or the lack of luxury, or the lack of bathing, and I would have found this. I think the girls found it very hard mm-hmm. as well. But they were made of tougher stuff, very likely, than I was made of at that particular time.
They didn't stay so long.
And of course, Baba did change his plans, because they were all packed up, I think, and ready to stay for several months. And then, and I think this is something that worried and distressed quite a lot of people. That Baba did change his plans so often and said, "We're going to do this," and then didn't, or "We're not going to do this," and did.
So did you say you did not see Baba in America, or you did see Baba in
America? No, I never saw Baba in America. No, mm-hmm. never, no, no. Because when he came, I had already met and married Manuel, whom you just met, and then we left for Italy for our singing career. Mm-hmm. So I never met him in America. No. And I don't know, we don't talk about it. I don't think he has any. He didn't particularly like the Mundi group, which I don't blame him for. We read one of the discourses, and it wasn't particularly inspiring, really. But let's go on talking about. He wrote a very beautiful little article about him, one of the best, called "An Incarnation of Love." But
Christmas
other Humphreys. Christmas Humphreys, yes. I took other friends.
You can take them. Yeah.
Yes. Who felt nothing at all.
It happens like that.
I mean, I suppose our Blessed Lord walked about, and some people saw what he was, and a lot of people didn't see what he was. But one of my dearest friends, who was a very spiritual girl, I was very disappointed mm-hmm. that she just found nothing at all.
Well, Baba actually said sometimes there's, like this means no connection.
No connection at all, absolutely none. But Christmas Humphreys was very moved and very touched by him, but of course was so deep in his Buddhism, that it was something that was not for him. I mean, from him, I suppose Baba was just one of the very, very many masters in India. Mm-hmm. And we've been hearing so much about Rajneesh, who I think is not quite what he should be. Do you know anything about Rajneesh?
Actually, I do.
Well, I should be terribly interested just to... Which is true. Yeah. You see, if you have him, there was no need of anything else. So I came to the discourses long after. Because after all, if you have Baba, there's no need to study, there's no need to read, there's no need to meditation or anything else.
They say at the beginning, Meredith Starr used to want people to meditate.
Yes,
and Baba
yes.
was saying that's not necessary.
Right? Not necessary at all. It was just enough to be in the room with him quietly. It was an agape, it was a love feast, that was enough. Now, you were in love, you were love, and this is all that mattered. And, of course, Meredith was quite an authoritarian, and he wanted us all to get up very early and sit on the lawn and meditate. But this was so idiotic, with the Lord there, you see. And Baba also didn't insist on us being vegetarians at all. I mean, I like vegetarian food, but I'd never forget one day, I think it was in Italy, where there's a discipline, he made the boys eat fish. And the poor things were so unhappy. She made little fishes, you know. Because he wanted to break down any of these rigid... It's all right, sweetheart, we're all finished.
Lots of words.
Was Delia de Leon, who had first met Baba in England in 1931.
It was a very intimate holiday. What you call it's a harvest, keeping company with the master. And it was a unique time because we were with Baba in Italy, which he loved. There was warmth, beautiful sunshine, and the sea. Baba's had a balcony from his room facing the sea. And we did many excursions during that time. And we used to walk along, go to the rocks, and he'd sit on the rocks with us, and some of us would bathe. And so it was this extraordinary intimate atmosphere, which Chanti said amazed him, because up to then only those few women in India had had this sort of life with Baba.
Although there was a holiday mood, Baba, just before he left for Assisi.
Herbert Davy had gone on in advance to find this cave, and the night they were due to leave, Baba said to us, "I want you all to stay near me." Kak and Chanti and Quentin were resting, and he told us we should be as close to him as possible. And some of us wandered away. And then again he said it. And then suddenly we knew that he was doing spiritual work in advance, because he got that faraway look in his eyes, and then his fingers went like that. And he explained to us once that he was putting his seal. This was his language, and then that when he did that, he was putting his seal to an order. So we knew that something very extraordinary was going to happen. We didn't know what.
What happened?
We'd hired, it was a sort of caravan carriage, and with an awning, and drawn by two horses. And we were all in holiday mood, and so was Baba. He was enjoying it. Although this holiday was much, much more than, because Baba was doing really great spiritual work there, and we were aware of this all the time. But he wanted this light side, and he just was like our companion and friend and entered into everything with us. So on this particular excursion, we were walking and singing, and then we'd stop by the roadside and gather flowers, and we'd had a gramophone with us, and we played songs for Baba. He wanted to stop. We were walking, and he wanted to stop then for lunch. And Quentin said, "Oh, no, just go a little further." And in some way, that altered Baba's mood for the time being. And that was the first little gentle hint we had about obedience. In fact, I think one of the chief things that Baba was trying to show us there was this beginning of that obedience to a master was absolutely necessary. And we had many other episodes which illustrated that. And then he told us then that he was leaving from Venice, but that we could go to Venice with him and be there for 2 days. And that was a marvelous 2 days with him, because we were really almost stunned with the beauty of Venice. One night as we sat at a cafe in St. Mark's Square, Baba said, "I'm eternally crucified." He looked very sad, and he told us that when the burden was very heavy, he sometimes let his disciples share it and gave to each as much as they could bear. He also told us that Jesus came to Venice before the crucifixion with two apostles and sat on the spot where St. Mark's was built. He explained that the whole structure of St. Mark's with its domes and pillars was an exact plan of the Avatar Circle of 120 disciples. It represented his inner circle of 12 apostles and his outer circle of 108. He made us walk round St. Mark's with him, and someone had to produce a pencil and paper to mark the numbers as Baba pointed and counted. And then again, he emphasized that we must stay by him. And we had this final lesson in being disobedient. We should have been obedient when some of us asked to go to the leader. And so Baba said, "All right, we'll go to the leader." And then he said, "But don't forget, you must stay with me." But some wandered off to have a swim. And then Baba jumped up and said he was very angry. And he said, "We're going back." And he took Margaret and I back with him because we hadn't gone. We'd stopped by him. And when we got to the hotel, his mood had changed, and he was in this rather sad mood that he was trying to train us, and we disobeyed him at the last minute. And when they all came back, they didn't realize. Margaret and I were almost in tears. And then he said, "The East want to sit at my feet, but the..."